Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. A few weeks ago, I discovered that I had this treasure trove of emails that were sent to me through the website, usuishikiryohoreiki.com, quite a mouthful. And in these emails, I found one from a woman who lives on Maui, who offered me assistance in my treatment of cancer, my metastasis, which I was very grateful for. And I just had a connection with her through this email. So we've emailed back and forth, and I asked her if she would be on the show, and she said yes, and so here we are. And I find out that she's was a student of Hawaii Otukata since she was 9. And this program is going to be aired tomorrow, going to be aired on Thursday, which is Thanksgiving. And so I'm just really grateful for my connection with Selene and with our ability to have this interview and have it be aired on Thanksgiving so that we can all again revisit gratitude for having Reiki in our lives and for having the people that we came across in our life to have touched us and allowed us to practice Reiki. So Selene Terry Apodeca is the woman's name that I received this email from, and I hope I was able to pronounce your name correctly.
You did pretty good, Phyllis.
Great. Well, welcome, Selene, and
thank you, Selene.
Selene. So I would really love it if you could tell us your Reiki story, because I have a feeling it's going to be a really good one.
It is. You want me to just plunge in and tell you right from day one?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, as I mentioned to you before, my mother was a Reiki practitioner. Prior to the time when Mrs. Takata began teaching us, my mother was a Zen Buddhist, and she taught me to meditate. She was an extremely spiritual woman and my first spiritual teacher, my first mentor. So even as a tiny girl at 4 or 5 years old, she was having me heal animals. And we didn't know about Reiki then, but she would have me hold the animals in my hand, even my goldfish, which I held in my hand, and it got better. So I think I was born to heal. And at some point in time, my mother met Mrs. Takata, Hawaii Otukata, your grandmother. And one day, before I knew it, my mother was sponsoring classes at our house. So there was another woman that she also was friends with. The two of them sponsored classes in the San Jose, California area where I grew up in our home. So at least twice a year for 10 years, Mrs. Takata would come to our house, stay at our house, and she would teach Reiki. And, you know, when those of you who were not around to see Mrs. Takata teach, you know, sometimes there was a massage table, but more often than not, she just threw something on the floor, you know, like a sleeping bag or a pad or something, because she did work that way, sitting on the floor. And I was that person, Phyllis, that was on the mat on the floor and or on the table, depending on, you know, who, if someone brought a table, then we'd do a table. So I got 10 years straight of Reiki instruction, Reiki treatments, Reiki initiation, Reiki, everything Reiki. You know, it was like Reiki your thoughts, Reiki your life, Reiki your body. You know, she taught me to infuse my life with Reiki, Mrs. Takata did. And she became my personal mentor, Phyllis. And at a very formative age, and it was so miraculous about this, that she attuned me to Reiki 1 at 18, up to that point. So I had half of my life learning from my mother, and then from 9 to 18, from Mrs. Takata. And actually longer than that, much longer than that. I mean, I got first degree at 18, and then I went on to take all the way to the mastership. So maybe up until I was 22, I think, or a little older, I was seeing her regularly.
Right. And just to make it clear, but you were not initiated by Hawaii Takata as a master.
Yeah, she began that process, and then she passed away, and maybe she retired, actually, right around that time, and sent me to Mrs. Samdahl to finish it off. So that's where I went. And but in the process, there was so much more than just the Reiki initiation that I received from her. She was like a surrogate mom or a surrogate grandmom in that she gave me guidance in life. I mean, I was at a very formative stage in my life. I talked to her about college. I talked to her about getting married. I talked to her about all kinds of things. And I talked to her about my family, and, you know, she had insight into my family and what was going on there that I didn't have at that time, and she was able to help me with some of the issues that were taking place at that time. So there was like she set a foundation for me, and I think I had already realized that I was going to be somebody spiritual, but I don't think I realized I was going to devote my whole life to healing, Phyllis. But I have. You know, I mean, I got married and did some things, but then I realized that what I really was a healer, and I needed to go be that person.
Great. That's wonderful. So can you tell me what it was, can you remember back when you were 18 years old about what it was like to have received Reiki treatments all those years, and then to finally be able to be initiated?
Yes, I do. I could never possibly forget that day. It was a very wild and woolly day. I was living in Lake Tahoe. You know, at that age, you're not necessarily just getting jobs and going to college and stuff. I was experiencing life. I had moved to Lake Tahoe to ski because I love to ski. So I spent the winter in Tahoe at Squaw Valley skiing. And I got a phone call from my mom. And it was like 8 o'clock at night, and there was this blizzard out, and she said, you need to come to San Jose. Mrs. Takata is going to be here tomorrow, and she's going to start teaching Reiki 1, and that's your birthday present. And I said, Mom, there's a horrendous blizzard outside, and nobody, all the highways are closed. And she said, well, you got to be here by noon tomorrow. And I was like, okay, let's see if I can do it. And so I thought about it, and I decided to make that journey in the middle of the night. I prayed about it. I meditated, Phyllis, and I got a message that, yes, you need to go. But we were listening to the radio, and it said there were, the road was closed. But inside I heard it's going to be okay. So I packed my car, and I had my friends were there, and they came over and said, what are you doing? There's a storm outside. And I said, I'm driving to San Jose. And they said, no, you're not. You're not even going to be able to get through. And the guys tried to stop me. They were worried about me. And I said, don't stop me. Just say a prayer. This is important. This is my life's work. And I got in the car. I drove to the highway, and I got some coffee, and I pulled up right at the beginning of the pass that goes, it's the Donner Pass, you know, that horrible story.
I know that pass well.
Yeah, it's a pretty bad spot in the winter time.
Yeah.
And I got there, and the policemen were there, and just as I arrived, he said, oh, he goes, well, you know what, we just now decided to open the gate, and I think you're going to be the first person that we're going to allow through. So we had, you know, the Red Sea parted, and the door opened. The gate opened, yeah. And I proceeded along in my little old Tempest, and it didn't have a defroster, so I had to have my hand on the window for all that time. And there's another miracle that happened in that journey, Phyllis, and that was I had chains on, and the guys put on for me before I left, right. So I could drive, right. Tire snow chains. And as I was driving, looking for a place, the snow was starting to be less and less, so I had to take the chains off, and I couldn't find anywhere to do that. So I'm just kind of looking around and seeing if there's somewhere to stop, and I hear one of the chains break and wrap around the axle.
Oh, no.
Right. So I pulled over quickly, and I got under the car, and I couldn't get it off. And I thought, how am I going to get to San Jose? So another miracle. I sat down, and I prayed, and I said, I think I'm supposed to take this class, God. I think this is what you want me to do. So you figure it out. I'm going to meditate, and I'm going to call in the help. And I sat in the snow for about half an hour like that. And all of a sudden, this car pulls up behind me with four big burly guys. They jump out and they said, what's wrong? And I told them. So they removed the chains. And I said, where did you guys come from? They didn't look like they were even barely human. And they said, well, we came from Brigham Young University. And I said, okay, you're Mormons. And I said, thank you. I really appreciate it. Now, this is a true story. I'm not making this up. We got into the car. We shook hands. They were right in front of me. We're driving along, and all of a sudden, they weren't there anymore. And I'm not kidding you. I looked and looked and looked and looked. I thought, where are they? Did they pull off? There's nowhere that they could have pulled off. I think that these were roadside angels, which I've heard stories about. Oh, they come and they leave. You know, they help people and situations where they need to be helped.
Uh-huh.
And since then, I've had many episodes of things like this happening, but that was the first one.
Wow.
And they just, like,
that's
gone.
Cool.
And I made it. I got there. It took me a long time. I got there at 11 a.m. on Saturday, and Mom told me, Mrs. Takata's been delayed today, but she's not going to be here till tomorrow. And I said, thank God. So I just went to bed and slept until the next day, and that's when I got Reiki 1.
Wow. Great story.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that's amazing. So what was it like to finally be able to, you know, treat yourself and treat others with Reiki after all these years?
Well, it was very empowering, and it was amazing, and it was exciting. But I had already begun to try to heal people because Mom taught me to when I was little. But I could feel the energy in my hands right away after being attuned.
Uh-huh.
And I realized that it worked. And so I began. And it was something that I used on every single person that would let me get near them.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I was just a, you know, woman on a mission. So,
right.
You know, I would force people to sit down and work on them. You know, I just wanted to practice endlessly.
Uh-huh.
So it's never stopped since that day, Phyllis. I mean, I love it. I'm very passionate about Reiki.
Great. And so when were you able to take second degree then? And what year was this when you took first degree? Just to give a kind of time reference.
Yeah, that was,
that would have
was
been.
It 1970? I think it was 1970.
Okay.
And I have a picture of Mrs. Takata with my mother and I. And then somewhere in the, let's see, late 70s, was it? There was second degree and then third degree. And Mrs. Takata passed away, you know, about the time I was doing third degree. So Mrs. Samdahl, I went to her. And so it was kind of like there was a gap, you know, between first and second, but then second and third were closer. And not real close. I support, you know, the theory that you do it with space in between.
Right.
That's the way it's supposed to be done, because the energy has to be acclimated to the body. Now that I am a full-time Reiki master teacher, you know, I teach, I know that you don't give people Reiki 1, 2, 3 in a day, or even 1, 2 in a day. It's not healthy for the person. So I'm not into that at all. I know that each student is individual, and you need to watch their energy. You need to make sure they can handle it. It's very powerful, Phyllis, as you know. And for me, Reiki is extremely powerful. When I work on people, when I teach people, it's like a bolt of lightning goes through me. I'm a really, really strong vessel for this, because I've trained myself and purified myself my whole life. So I'm not going to blast people who are brand new with 3 levels of Reiki in one day. That's not the responsible way to teach Reiki.
Okay. So tell me about Virginia Samdahl, because I knew her, of course, and I haven't, because I don't hang out on the East Coast very much, I'm not really in touch with her students. You know what I mean? Like, I, uh-huh. because I'm on the West Coast a lot, I meet, you know, people from Beth Gray and John Gray and, you know, a number of the other West Coast masters. I've, you know, connected with them all. But I haven't, I really liked Virginia, and of course I met her a few times, but I'd love to have a bit more. Can you talk about her a little bit?
Yeah, well, she was very sweet. You know, she's an Anglo person, you know, very Western person, and much older. You know, she was fairly old yes. when I learned from her. So I don't know if she was the oldest master at that time. She was one of the original 22 masters.
Right.
But I'm not sure how old she was, but she looked to me like she was getting towards the end of her career. And she was... You know, very friendly. It was formal. You know, Mrs. Takata had the Hawaiian kind of, you know, indigenous feeling about her, very natural, earthy person. But Virginia's a little bit more westernized, you know, kind of, but nothing bad or anything, just a little bit more formal.
Yeah, formal. And, so I would say that to be true.
And it was, no, it was terrific. I mean, the class was, I felt like I gained the energy. I could feel it come into me. We learned all the symbols. You know, she taught it as Mrs. Takata would teach it.
Of course.
And the class was fantastic. I'm not sure what else you want to say. I mean, it was pivotal for me, I got to say, because she was just in another way as powerful for me as Mrs. Takata, but not exactly the same way. Mrs. Takata was more of a mentor and a guide as I was growing up.
Right.
Mrs. Sandel sort of like marked a turning point in my life. That's when I really turned towards my healing career full time. It was after second degree. I realized that this is who I was and what I wanted to be. And that's when I started to heal myself. I had a lot of healing to do from my childhood. And that's when it really began. Once I took second degree, I started to go through my own emotional, mental, and spiritual healing, and then eventually my physical healing as well. It triggered off the transformation, which I have my own practice. And when people begin to work with me, they usually go through a big transformation. Because it's more than just healing for me, Phyllis. It's a path. It's a path to spiritual awakening. And I've had a spiritual awakening as a result of my Reiki work. And it's caused a kundalini rising and an alchemical change in my body. So that I'm no longer the person I was. And I went through a complete healing, and I've had cancer. I've had five near-death experiences, five very serious illnesses, and I healed all of them with Reiki. And as a result, I'm a person who's really good at teaching other people how to awaken through Reiki. So, and to heal through Reiki. I mean, no matter care what disease you have, you can heal it with Reiki. I'm convinced of that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that answer your question?
Sort of. I have to say that, you know, there's a lot of times when I've applied Reiki or, I guess what I need to do is back up, like, so we're backing up a bit, and going to a question that I've been really intrigued with the last few years, and I'd love to hear what you have to say about, not the definition of healing, but what does healing mean to you? Like when you say, well, I feel like, you know, everything can be healed with Reiki. What does that mean to you?
Well, I guess I'd have to start by saying, what is Reiki itself? And Reiki, of course, as you know, is universal life energy. And that particular word, Reiki, has the same term in every language, as you well know. In Hawaii, it's mana. That to the Hindus, it's prana. To the Christians, it's the Holy Spirit. What we're talking about is God's divine energy with Reiki. It's not some, and I don't need to tell you this, but I'm just answering your question, that this isn't just some parlor class where you learn how to massage people's feet or something like that. We're talking about learning how to use God's divine energy to completely transform yourself. So when I work with Reiki, it's more than just like getting over a cold or getting over the flu or something. It's a spiritual path for me, and I teach it that way. So the transformative path. And I ask people to be accountable to the higher possibilities of Reiki. I don't want people thinking that, okay, you know, I got it fast, I can do it fast. And they're very casual about it. You know, they think they can learn it online or they can learn it for $20 or something. And I want people to realize that it's an honor and a privilege, and it's very sacred and very powerful to learn Reiki and to choose that as a path. I mean, for me, it's a path. For not everybody, maybe it's a path, but it does heal everything. And to answer your question, what I come to understand and to be able to practice with Reiki is that it moves energy, all energy. If there's stuck energy somewhere in your mind, body, spirit, or emotions, Reiki moves it. And I have used it on myself for everything. And so I use it to heal people emotionally too, Phyllis, because I'm also a counselor. I work with addicted people. And my clients, when I've worked at treatment facilities, I use Reiki on my clients. I'm the only counselor that ever did that. And sometimes they didn't want me to, or they didn't know, and I did it anyway. And my clients, I had the highest success rate. And because I taught them how to self-heal, I taught them how to move the energy in their body, I taught them how to heal their minds and their emotions as well as their bodies. We're not just, you know, physical beings, we're spiritual beings. You know, we're spiritual beings and we happen to be in a body right now. And that body is intertwined and interconnected to our emotional body, our mental body, and our spirit body. So as you well know, healing is a holistic experience. So the last place illness shows up is in the body. The first place it shows up is in the mind, when the mind gets stuck into incorrect thinking or to negative, it's attached to negative belief systems like self-hatred. That has to be rooted out of your consciousness, just like pulling a weed out of a garden. And I, of course, you know, I do that with second degree Reiki, that I'm going to give people as many mental treatments as they need until they're no longer believe that they deserve to be sick or whatever they're believing. So, you know, we're talking about an energy that's far more powerful than just bringing you out of having the flu. We're talking about an energy that can transform your consciousness.
So, I still don't feel like, I don't know if you really addressed my question. So,
okay.
I'll go for it again.
Okay.
But it was good. I really like, you know, I enjoyed what you were saying. So anyway, let me just phrase this differently. Well, I think that it's important, when we talk about healing, as Reiki practitioners and students, but also in this world now that is very, involved with, all these different possible forms of options of healing, that we have a feeling for what really is healing. So, I would say that healing is something that happens on many different levels, and that it doesn't necessarily result in people living longer than their natural life. But it allows people to live their natural life with a really high quality of life and an understanding of their own consciousness. So that's sort of where I was going. And I don't know if you have a different take on that. So, because you talk a lot about being a healer, and for me, I have a hard time a little with that, saying that for myself, because I feel like we all heal ourselves. And that one of the things that is the gift of Reiki is that we can offer ourselves in service of that possibility for everyone.
Well, so I totally agree with that.
Yeah, so that's why I'm really interested in your definitions, because it's important for me it's important just to understand where you're coming from, that's all.
Well, so would your question be, again, about how does Reiki heal everything? Is that what you want me to answer?
No. Uh-uh. What do you mean when you say Reiki heals everything?
Well, let's see if I can get more specific. Reiki is an energy that is present in everything. It's present in the trees. It's right. present in our bodies. It's present in the universe. And as you say, you know, we are just the vessel. We've been attuned to be like a radio antenna or a television or a satellite to receive that energy and be able to transfer it to other people. And then also to teach other people to also be a receiver. So that energy is available to every single person in the world and every single living thing, plants, animals, trees, everything. It's a matter of calling up the Reiki and allowing it to do what it can do. And it can do everything. I mean, obviously, if somebody chops a tree down, you're not going to be able to put your hand on it and make the tree go back on top. But I have seen enough Reiki miracles to know that it can heal every illness. Unless it's something from another lifetime, and that's a whole other discussion, you know, that there's something that they're working out in this lifetime. But Reiki is that energy. It's God's divine energy. It's available to use. It's available for everything. I've used Reiki for my car. I've used it for, sending messages to people. At one point, one of the stories that's so amazing is my daughter and I were on a vacation, and she's very psychic. She was a little girl, but she's very psychic. And we were given a room in this hotel we went to, and she went in there and she said, "We can't stay in this room." And I said, "Why not?" She said, "Because there are dead people in here." And I said, "Okay." I mean, I couldn't see anything. And I said, "Are these people?" She said, "You can't see them over there?" And I said, "No." And she said, I asked her, "Is this something that has already happened or is it going to happen?" And she said, "I don't know." So I said, "Let's get another room." So we got another room, and she was just a little girl, so she was scared. And so I prayed and I helped her to get over her fear, but then I decided to Reiki the door. And I did use the symbols on the door and asked, you know, who the masters and the angels to protect our door because she was scared. I kind of did it for her, you know. I wasn't scared, but she was. And then we proceeded to go about our evening, and we were going to go out to dinner, and we couldn't get the door open, Phyllis, and it wasn't locked. And the door would not open. And so I said to her, "Okay, we're not supposed to leave. We're just going to stay here." And the next morning, when we were ready to check out, the door would still not open. And even if when we unlocked it, it still would not open. And I tried to remove the Reiki symbols, but I couldn't. And I called the front desk and asked them to come and do our door. And he said, "I don't know what's wrong with your door. We can't open it." So they had to get the maintenance men to remove the door and the frame to get us out of the room. And all I did was put the Reiki symbols on there and pray for protection. So whatever was needing to happen, happened. And I credit that to Reiki. I don't always know how it's working is what I'm saying, you know?
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
So it worked there. Another time I used it on the battery on my car and it started. And it's like, okay, we're talking about a force of energy that's everywhere. Let's use it in every possible way we can. It's not just for the body. It's for the mind and the emotions. It's for the trees and the plants. We're going to use it wherever we can use it. If we get an idea, brainstorm, you know, I've used it on animals. One time I came across a sick seal on the beach, and he would not allow me to touch him, of course. So I sat behind him and began sending him long-distance Reiki, and I was a ways back, you know, quite a ways back. And he turned around and barked at me really loud and stared at me the whole time I was healing him. And then when I was done, he went back into the water. So he was receiving it, and he was staring at me. And another time, I summoned the dolphins. I used to be an abalone diver with my husband, and we were out to sea, and I used the Reiki symbols to summon the dolphins, and 1,000 dolphins came around our boat when I put the symbols in the water. So, you know, that's the way I want to answer it, is it is an energy that heals, empowers, calls. You can use it to call up the healing inside your own body. You can use it to call for healing in your mind. You can use it to call God's energy to protect you. I use it for protection. I put the symbols over me every day so that wherever I go, I'm protected. You know what I mean? So does that answer it a little better?
Yes, I think so. In a kind of, I mean, in a storytelling way, yes, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, so I can give you
specifics. You're an incredible storyteller, so that's great.
I am a storyteller. I mean, I can give you specifics of people who have healed with, diseases, if that's what you want.
No, that's not necessary. I will let the question lie for this moment. I just am having a lot of interesting conversations with people who, from many different countries about this concept we call healing and what that means and how, for me, Reiki has really, taught me, Reiki has really taught me the meaning of healing, and it isn't what I normally, in my kind of Western educated mind think about as healing. And then there's always, of course, the other word that we use a lot when, in different, discomforts, and that's curing. And that, sometimes Reiki assists in curing, and sometimes Reiki assists in healing. And it doesn't mean that one is lesser than the other. It's just an interesting, I don't know, maybe it's too out there, too mental somehow.
Well, I would say that probably the most compelling evidence in my life was my own experience of healing breast cancer with Reiki.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I do. And I got breast cancer after I had four people close to me pass away, my mother, my sister, my best friend, and my cousin in 1 year. And it was tough, and I took care of three of them, and three of them passed away in my arms. So it was a very traumatic event. And but what it did is it triggered an earlier trauma for me that had happened in my childhood. I had an experience of being physically and sexually traumatized.
Uh-huh.
And it was pretty severe. And so everything came to the surface during that year, and it lodged. In my opinion, what happens when things are unresolved is that they become solid matter in the body. They develop into a disease. And this is what I've come to understand. I'm writing a book about this too. In that, I had this mass, I actually had about 30, nodules, rocks uh-huh. in my right breast. The doctor said there was probably 30, and it went all the way up to my shoulder. And I didn't have any money or health insurance. There was nothing I could do, and I was already a Reiki master working on other people. So I thought to myself, well, I need to practice what I preach, and uh-huh. I need to go do this, or I can't really call myself a healer. And I don't have any money anyway, which was kind of a blessing. So I went back home, and I called most of my students, actually, and one friend who was an incredible Reiki master. He was so powerful. And I had like maybe three or four people work on me every single day. There was somebody that worked on me every day. And that continued for 6 months. And during that time, I had to go through a lot of emotional release work. If I didn't do Reiki along with the emotional release work, I probably wouldn't have recovered. So, I did the standard. I changed my diet and stuff, but I needed to release the fear and the trauma and the pain of the childhood experience, which had lodged there in my body, and the emotions that were connected to it, which were lodging in the area of my womanlyhood, my femininity, my breast. And so my ability to nurture and love was being impacted. And this was something that I had received. It was a wound I received. And so I had to turn that around. And the Reiki turned it around. You know, daily mental treatments, daily treatments on the breast, the whole body, foundation treatments every single day, sometimes two or three a day. And as time wore on, I mean, it got to a peak of severity, and I kept asking for the healing. I never gave up. I kept asking for the healing. And eventually it comes. When you call into that energy, it comes to you. And then there came a day where I realized that I was healed. So it took about 8 months of Reiki and then another year and a half of personal work, you know. And a couple of years after that, I realized I was okay. But it was huge. And it's a longer story than that, but that's sort of the summation. And I credit those who worked on me and my willingness to work with them. And to, you know, it was a co-process where I gave up the emotional pain to them to take away. And I gave up the death wish. There was a point in time where I went to a medical intuitive and he looked at me and he said, well, the angel of death is standing at your shoulder. You have to make the decision whether you want to live or die. You've got about 6 months. And the doctor said to me, you've got 6 months to live. And that was like 1997, 98. So they didn't know what to do for me. It was too advanced and I didn't have any money. So I just had to really plunge in and do the deep Reiki, the deep emotional work, the deep spiritual work. And it worked, Phyllis, it worked.
That's wonderful. I'm glad it did.
Thank you.
Yeah,
but it taught me a lot. You know, each time that I got sick, I'd learn something new about how people get sick, why they get sick, and what to do about it to make them well. I felt like I was in disease school, you know? It's like, oh, here's another disease. How do we handle it? And I got to be the person who had the disease. So I learned how to do things as a result of what I was going through. And I added those in, you know, to my practice. And so my practice is more than just a physical healing Reiki practice. It's an emotional healing practice. It's a mental healing practice. And it's a spiritual healing practice. Because I learned with the alcoholics and the addicts that if it wasn't so much the addiction for them, it's that they had a spiritual sickness. They were disconnected from their spirituality. They no longer believed in themselves, you know. And I had to... What I required, I started a program in Santa Barbara. I lived there for 30 years, the Reiki Recovery Project, I called it. And I took in homeless addicts and alcoholics off the street that were considered hopeless. And while they were just recycling in and out of the jails. And finally, the judges started sending them to me because all they do is just go back to the street. And so they had a choice. They could either go to prison or they could come to me. And they started coming to me, and at that time I could afford an office in Santa Barbara. And I taught every one of these homeless alcoholics Reiki 1. And I mandated that they come to me for a Reiki treatment every single day for at least 60 days, and that they had to begin practicing Reiki on themselves every single day. And that, of course, they also had to do a recovery program. I sent them to AA, excuse me. AA. But in my personal opinion, what heals an addict and an alcoholic is to reconnect them spiritually, and Reiki does that. Reiki will connect you with your higher self. And that's how people heal, Phyllis. You're talking about we're providing service. Well, we're providing the service of restoring their connection to God, whatever God is to them. I'm not trying to preach any particular religion, because I don't. But whatever God is to you, you need to find a way to connect and to begin a practice of some kind, whether it's meditation or prayer or yoga or chanting, whatever that may be that reconnects you to the divine energy every single day, that's what's going to keep you healthy mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So Reiki is a tool for reconnecting you on all levels to the energy of the divine energy, the Holy Spirit's energy, Reiki. That's what it is. Universal life energy, divine energy. It's really pretty basic, don't you think?
Yes, but I'm a little confused. So Personally, for me, Reiki is my spiritual practice. So I was a little confused in your saying that you need to find, people need to find another spiritual practice like a meditation or whatever. I feel like when I do my treatments, I don't talk or my mind is very quiet, and I feel like that's my meditation, if I, you know, if I wanted to put it that way. And it really has connected me. It's one of the gifts that I've received from my practice is the connection to my spirit. So I'm a little confused about your recommending people to go elsewhere. That's all.
Well, what I mean by that is not to go elsewhere, but not every single person I worked on wanted to become a Reiki practitioner. Sometimes they just wanted to get well.
What
I say to them is, you know, include a spiritual practice in your life. If you want it to be Reiki, that's fine. I mean, for some of my students or some of my clients, yes, they became Reiki practitioners and that was their practice. Uh-huh. And I agree with you. When I give a Reiki treatment, that's my meditation for the day. I mean, I'm done. It just flows through me and I'm connected and God's, you know, flowing out of me. But not everybody wants to do that, you know. So if they come to me and they're very ill and they're trying to get well, I say to them, you know, decide what it is that's going to be your practice. Is it going to be Reiki or is it going to be chanting or is it going to be Christianity? It's not up to me to decide that for them.
Right.
I'm just saying, you know, pick something.
Yeah.
And, if they want to do Reiki, then I'll show them it, because that's exactly what I do. Like I said in the beginning, for me, it's a path. It's my spiritual path. It's everything to me. And it can be a path to awakening. It's Kundalini, you know. That energy rising up in you and healing you is the spiritual awakening. Does that make sense?
I wouldn't have put it that way, but I'm considering it.
It is a spiritual path for me. I call it the transformative path.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't get the part about, you know, this being for people who weren't initiated. Yet into Reiki. I think that was the part that I missed.
Okay.
Yeah. So thanks for clearing that up, because
sure.
That's good. And so when people come to you for treatment, especially around cancer and other chronic illness, then you have a place on Maui where you do this work?
Yeah. I have a little place here, which I call the Soul Center of Maui. And, you know, sometimes I work out of different healing centers and other times here in my home. And wherever I'm working, it's the same spiritual, it's the same healing practice wherever I'm at. I had one for many, many years in Santa Barbara before that. And I have Reiki circles every Wednesday night in Santa Barbara for like 10, 15 years. Uh-huh. And I have one here in Maui on every Wednesday night.
Cool.
And that's where we worked on you every Wednesday night for months.
Great. Well, you can continue working on me if you like. I'm fine with that.
Seems like you're doing well.
Oh, I am. I am doing well. And, it's not finished yet. You know, I can feel it, but it's much better. I've had the most amazing last 5 months of my life. So, something's transforming because my whole life has changed. Amazing.
Well, that's good
it's
to
changed
hear.
And it's not changed. Do you know what I mean? It's so funny because when you talk about when I talk about transformation, for instance, I think, oh, I should look different, right?
You mean like you're going to be 30, 20, 30 years younger?
Yeah, or maybe I just look totally different, like I'm not Japanese or, you know, whatever, right? You know, or, you know, people will see me and, you know, I'll kind of have this glow around me or something. So anyway, I haven't had that feedback yet, I have to say. So I just have to think about, you know, what is transformational? And one of the things that I love to get your feedback on is that, you know, in the very beginning, especially of practicing Reiki, I was always astonished at these crazy things that would happen. And, you know, very similar stories to what you've told us so far. And then, you know, it kind of seems like all these kind of things end up being like every day. You know, they're so commonplace that we don't really understand that we're living a life of miracles.
That's right.
And that we are transformed in this way by the way that we move in the world. And I think that people get pretty complacent about it. And that's something that I know my grandmother wouldn't really be excited about, because she had this and very strong, wasn't even trust. I mean, she just knew what Reiki could do. And the way that you speak about it really reminds me of her. And, like, not taking no for an answer sort of kind of attitude.
Yes, thank you. And
yeah. And so what I really like is to, I've looked at, you know, I've had this amazing 4 or 5 months, which is a very long story, but I feel like in these episodes that have happened in my life, through many people giving me the gift of their time and their energy and their stories and their whatever they had to give me, I feel like I've gotten back my childhood, I've gotten back my hometown, I've gotten back I've received my parents in a really different way. I mean, you know, it's just really a lot. And I've received myself as a Japanese woman really differently. So it feels like in my cancer story, there's something that's just on the edge of, just on the edge of happening. And I don't know what's next, but I'm really excited by it. And, you know, I think one of the things is just to interview you and to be able to reconnect with that piece, you know, of Reiki.
Well, first of all, thank you for saying that I remind you of Mrs. Takata. There couldn't be more of an honor to say that. And I really honor Reiki the way she taught it and the way she taught me. And I, you know, don't remember specific sentences that she said, but I remember the spirit of Reiki that she passed to me. And what I came to know is that if she hadn't been there in my childhood, I don't know if I would have survived as long as I did, because she gave me so much Reiki, it healed a lot of the things that I experienced, you know. So I was getting 10 years of Reiki at the same time that I was experiencing trauma. So it was very healing for me. And what it taught me is that there's nothing Reiki can't heal. Because then later I've had other illnesses which were equally as serious as cancer. And I would call on Reiki. And I would call on Mrs. Takata. I'd say, I know you can do it. And I'd say to God, you know, Jesus used to do it. I mean, come on. It's got to be possible. And so I would ask for that healing to come in. And this is how I learned. When you call on the Reiki, it comes to you, and it works. And like you just said, all these miracles happen around you. And you start realizing that we're living in a place that's really miraculous and powerless, and everything is possible. And it's a matter of deconstructing limiting belief systems and limiting cultural dogma and limiting, you know, like women being certain cultures being oppressed. We have to drop those limitations and allow the flow of Reiki to guide us, sweep us up the river of miraculous possibilities.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and where do you place death then in all of this?
We're being, what was that again?
Where do you place the adventure of death in all of this?
Oh, well, I mean, it's certainly inevitable.
Yes, it is inevitable.
I think death is just one stage of life. Uh-huh. And there is no death. I don't believe in death, and I believe my soul is immortal. I'm part of the Holy Spirit. You know, I know that my soul exists. I've experienced, I mean, I died and left my body. That was one of the things that happened. So back in when I had viral meningitis, and when I rose above my body, I still had the same consciousness I had when I was in my body. And I realized that there was no death. And so, you know, when this body wears out, and when I've used it to the maximum to acquire as much spiritual awakening as I can, then I will move on to the next level of consciousness and possibly take a new body. Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know if I'm advanced enough to ascend beyond this realm. But death is just like a season. You know, we have winter, spring, summer, and fall. And it's like, oh, it's winter. It's almost time for the trees to fall, the leaves to fall off the tree. And one of these days, all my leaves are going to fall off. And that's okay. You know, I'm okay with it because I already faced it, Phyllis. I mean, 5 times I thought I was going to die, and I didn't. So to me, life is precious and death is precious, both of them. It's all about learning and awakening and experiencing transformation. Uh-huh. And transformation's okay. And one of the great transformations is death. And all that is moving back to the divine center.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well,
I mean, at least I don't have to die of a disease now. You know what I mean? And most likely I'll just die of old age and, or an accident or something. Because I conquered the thought forms and the energy forms that were in my body that were causing illnesses. I don't even get sick anymore, and I'm older. It's weird. Like, that all stopped years ago. So death will come peacefully. That's the way I see it. Uh-huh. And that's the way it should be. Like, remember Dr. Hayashi's story?
Well, I love the image of the tree losing its leaves. Like, that's really a great image. And I really appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. Hopefully I don't get bald before I die, though.
Oh, no, definitely not. Well, this is the end of our hour. And
okay.
It's a great place to end. And I want to thank you very much for contacting me and for whatever... however, all these connections were made in the last few days for us to be here on the air together. I really, really appreciate it because it brings back a lot and it's been meaningful for me. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome, Phyllis, and thank you. I just send you all the love in the universe and all the healing and the lineage of being connected to Mrs. Takata. It's such a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.